Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds to know the smell of the perfume tells us about your burial. Amen. As we are slowly settling more and more into our new home, Linda has gotten back to baking bread. She's got a bread maker, and so she's been baking us some bread. And I got to tell you, there's nothing like baking something, cookies or mainly, in this case, homemade bread. And the smell about it, it makes a house feel more and more like a home. It's that great smell that makes a difference. Yet a number of years ago, I remember reading an article in the Cincinnati Inquirer that said that the smell of bread may be hazardous to your health. It came out in saying that that the smell of bread apparently has an organic compound that the aroma breaks down the ozone layer. All right? Well, I was really curious about that. Of course, you're horrified with that kind of news. So I did a little bit of research, and I found out that, yes, bread can be very, very hazardous. For example, 98% of convicted felons are bread eaters. I didn't know that. Research shows that 90% of violent crimes are committed within 24 hours of eating bread. Now, bread, we know, absorbs water. And since our bodies are 90% water, it would only logically follow that if you eat too much bread, your body would turn into a soggy, gooey, bread pudding person. You can't know how many times I rehearse that. Soggy, gooey, bread pudding person. Okay, never mind. All kidding aside, the smell of bread or baked goods has a powerful impact in our memories. In fact, smell is one of the senses that perhaps lasts the longest in our minds. Now, think about that. There are certain smells that automatically bring back some memories. Baby powder may bring you back to a memory of a newborn baby lying in a crib. The smell now, this time of the year, of tilled earth, a clear sign of spring, but it gives us that memory, that anticipation of crops that are growing and that plants will grow. The smell of gas from your first boat ride of the spring reminds you of all the fun that you had last year, last summer, on the lake. Smell can bring some powerful memories. Well, it was 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus traveled to the home of his good friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, in a little town called Bethany. Well, Martha was always the consummate host, so she was busy preparing the meal and serving it to all of her guests. But her sister Mary was, well, she was always the dreamer. And she wanted to be at Jesus' feet. See, a student would sit at the feet of the master as a time of learning and teaching. However, what she was about to do startled everyone. She did a most unusual thing. Verse 3, then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the aroma of perfume. Now, this was a very, very precious and special perfume, as Jim alluded to. In the text, we hear that it cost 300 denarii, which for us would be comparable to a full year's salary. Now, I've always been curious as to where Mary got the money. More than likely, she saved up that money for a long period of time. And she saved this for a very, very special occasion. And when it came on this day, with Jesus dining, she knew that this was that special time to use it. She poured it on Jesus' feet, and she washed his feet with her hair. And again, I want you to try to imagine the smell of that perfume as it wafts through the entire house and just surrounds the house with a smell that was very, very powerful. Well, Judas took a whiff of that, and he spoke out in verse 5, The perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and given the money to the pure, to the poor? Jesus closed his eyes. He breathed in deeply and he said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was used to prepare for my burial, and this is how she chose to use it." That wonderful scent, that perfume stayed in the air. And was also something, like all smells do, it connected certain memories to the disciples. And long into the future, whenever that same smell of perfume hit the nostrils of the disciples, their minds would go back to this particular day and time. See, this was a very, very poignant part in Jesus' life. It was a preview of what was going to happen very, very quickly. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial." And that's how she chose to use it. Our text this morning is a simple, normal Lenten theme. The story about leading up to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And the real focus of that lesson is to put our minds and our hearts to that point of death and resurrection. Now take a look at things in the disciples' frame of mind. This time would certainly lead quickly to a roller coaster of events. As they go into Palm Sunday, Sunday the Passion, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then eventually Easter, there was just a wave of so many different emotions. They'll go from the height of the mountains to the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. They'll go down then to the depths of despair. Just a few days later, a sense of betrayal as Judas betrayed them and had Jesus arrested. And then they would experience the worst thing imaginable for them, to see Christ slowly die as he hung on the cross. And on this particular day, Jesus reminds them, as he did so many times in the past, he tries to prepare the disciples for this event to come. And connecting with that is this powerful smell of the perfume filling the room. And through that, the disciples would remember what Jesus said and be prepared for what was to come. What was to come was early on that Sunday morning. We read that Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and the others, they stood at the entrance of the tomb. And as they stood at that entrance, they wondered what kind of a smell they would receive. Would it be a cave with mixed scent of dust and dirt and dampness? Would it be the odor of death? Jesus had been in the tomb for 36 hours, so what else could they expect? But as they stood at that entrance, it was not the smell of death that greeted them, but it was the fragrance of life. The tomb with the stone rolled away was aired out. It was empty. And the biggest surprise of all hit them. They didn't still understand it all until many, many years later, but they had that smell, that aroma, not of death, but of life. See, that's the outcome of this story. That's what Jesus prepares them for, his death, but also his resurrection. And in that perfume, that smell of the empty tomb, it stayed long within their hearts and in their minds. The crucifixion is done. The resurrection for them now is a memory, but the effects still live with them and still live with us. It is the scent of new life. We also approach that tomb and find it empty. And that through that resurrection of Christ, that smell of new life, we find the forgiveness of our sins. We are given the grace of God and the love of Christ. In His name, Amen.